Hello everyone and welcome back to the Cyclocross Social podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the number of semi-classics in Flanders and Italy that have taken place and how the cross riders did there. And with me here to discuss that is Issa.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Iconic Line is back. There's really no way that we can start this episode with anything else than the news of Dwars door Vlaanderen yesterday where Van Aert crashed out. Isam was in the downhill after Berg ten Houten towards the Canarieberg. I think it was a 40-ish man peloton, and everybody knows that you need to be in the leading positions going on to the Canarieberg there, and downhill is known to be dangerous. It's taken out of the Tour of Flanders for that reason, and for the second year in a row, because last year in the Tour of Flanders there was a big crash there. We see a big crash in that downhill. Van Aert went down, has a total of 9 fractures, 7 ribs, collarbone. It's not really good for him. He's undergone surgery today. Luckily, there were no complications. He's going to be taking time off the bike and maybe make the Giro. But team report and everything in general, the doctors say that that will be extremely difficult. It's very unfortunate for him.
He really put everything aside to try and be as good as possible for this weekend with Tour of Flanders and also next weekend Paris-Roubaix. And he really wanted to show his best form. And I think that he was definitely looking good. It was going to be interesting to see what was going to happen and how it would play out. But I guess we didn't, or we're not going to see that. And yeah, you can only wish him a speedy recovery. And hopefully that, you know, the Belgian media will give him his time to recover. Because we know that that is also quite hectic. And that's probably the last thing you want to have. Because, you know, his emotions must have been gone through a roller coaster. I don't know if everyone was able to hear that, but there was quite some crying there, and he was, I think, emotionally was really through it. So, yeah, then it's a bitter pill to swallow for him, and I think that it is also for the team because he was the leader there, and it looked like everything was playing out in the way that he was going to lead them out and try to win a Tour of Flanders for his first time in his career and win Paris-Roubaix also. And yeah, that is not going to happen, and real shame to see him crash there. And also the other riders that were involved there, it was a nasty crash, a very hard one, very fast. And yeah, let's just hope that everyone gets through that well and have a speedy recovery.
Unfortunately, crashes are an inherent part of the sport. They are inevitable. There will always be crashes. There will always be a certain amount of risk that's willing to be taken when riders get on their bike to train, when they get on their bike to race. It's good that safety is being addressed. It's good that this downhill, which is known to be dangerous, is removed from the Tour of Flanders. It's likely going to be removed from this race as well. It's good that we're now talking about innovating systems, more protective clothing, and things like that. I think that is good trend forward. At the same time, I do question a bit the decision for Van Aert to skip so many races, and I don't necessarily only mean it now because he crashes out. You said it, we don't really know how that preparation went. We'll never really know how it paid out, and I can understand that in this world, in this modern day of cycling, you don't race everything. You race less, you decide that you're going to choose a certain number of races to be well. But for Van Aert, the list of races that he skipped to be good somewhere else, and then that race that he wanted to be good at didn't really pay off for him, is getting pretty long. And you know that something like this can happen. I'm not saying this is the reason I'm saying it, but we've seen it. He skipped Time Trial Worlds in 2022 and then Foss won. He skipped Sanremo this year. It's not that Van Aert has a tremendous palmarès. He has a good palmarès, but wouldn't withstand another Sanremo win on there. So I question a bit the extent to which they've been going in terms of scrapping the races. We'll come to it in a bit later in the podcast, but Pedersen and Van Empel, also two complete extremes in that part. Pedersen does everything, Van Empel extremely calculated. I think that Visma might be going a bit too far in scrapping races with Van Aert, with Van Empel. But maybe I'm just saying this now in a bit of recency bias or because the rewards are not there. But to me, it feels that he skipped a few too many races and that it's not that bad if he races just that bit more in the attempt to win a few more races, because If you remember back to the cross season, Van Tugendhat had a really bad start to it, but then we always said, well, he won the European title, so his season is a success. If Van Aert races San Remo, I'm sure he's in contention for the win, and then he at least has something. If he wins that, and you always say, oh, at least he won San Remo, or at least he was up there at the podium or something, and now it's really nothing, which is a hard reality for him to take.
Yeah, I think that I totally agree with you on that part, and it's, you know, afterwards you can always speculate on what could or should have happened and what they should have done. And I think there was an interview probably 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago with Servais Knave, who was director sportif of Ineos at the time, or Sky then, back then, and they were talking about a similar preparation for their spring classic team, where they try to, you know, stay as long as possible, attitude training, and then come back and try to race a selective program. And didn't really work out for them because some riders got sick and the others were just not really very good in form. So I feel I'm more a fan of, you know, picking your races, but going into a race more of a training kind of, and really just try to have a very, you know, high intensity, but yeah, in a way just trying to get the kilometers in and race as much as you can. And as you said, if you're in a, you never know if you're going to win the race if you participate. But one thing is for sure, if you're not participating, you're not winning. So, and that is kind of the theme here, I would say. And I don't know what is going to happen now in terms of what they're going to do next year. I don't assume that they're going to do the same thing, but maybe they believe that that is really the way to go, and they will approach it the same way or similar. But yeah, we have to wait and see, because that is too far-fetched at the moment. And I think that they are at the moment just looking into recovery and maybe try to seek for other goals this season.
I definitely think they will try and fine-tune that window of altitude camp after Omloop. I also read that interview with Servais Knave, and one of the things they said there was when they went on altitude, they felt they came back good for the first race and were completely smoked after with the way the classics were raced, because it affects your ability to recover from these type of races, was something that he said. So yeah, that was unfortunate. And yeah, I would like to give some context to our listeners on how big of a deal this is in Flanders, because the crash happened. Instantly, a couple of push notifications went out from newspapers. Then they sent reporters to the hospital where Van Aert was brought in. There were videos of his ambulance arriving. There were videos of other riders leaving the hospital. There were reporters walking inside the hospital because they had the information earlier than the teams announced it. They pushed Van Aert breaks, collarbone, possibly more fractures. And then, like 20 minutes later, the statement came out. The biggest news in Belgium is at 7 p.m. You have the national broadcaster news and the commercial broadcaster news. The commercial news from VTM started with 10 minutes of news on Van Aert. One reporter was standing in front of the hospital giving updates. And then they send another reporter to the place of the crash, standing there filming. You can see here behind me, this is where the crash happened. They came down here, and that will turn now. That's where you can see, that's where they were supposed to go onto the climb. It's a dangerous downhill. In the newspaper of today, half a page on a gardener who was working in a garden alongside the course and then stopped for 5 minutes to watch the race, and then the crash happened right in front of him. He was reporting like an eyewitness. This is major news. Today there's articles popping up. They will be in tomorrow's papers about doctors giving their verdict. Van Aert going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks, or are they saying 3 to 4? There's now news coming out that he has finished his surgery and that it went successful. This is major, major news. If you open the site of the Belgian news, you will find like 16, maybe 20 articles around the crash and everything. So it really is a big deal there. And in Belgium, they call this the Holy Week. A3 until the Tour of Flanders is the Holy Week, especially now it's with Easter. I know in international media, the Holy Week is from Flanders till Roubaix. But the fact is that the hype for the Tour of Flanders has taken a significant hit. The race is missing its real contender, because Yeah, the other one, Mathieu van der Poel, he didn't race Tour de Flandre, he raced E3, he won E3, a race in which Van Aert crashed on the Paterberg. Van der Poel then finished second in Gent-Wevelgem. The winner of Gent-Wevelgem, Pedersen, also went down in that crash. I think the only thing that Van der Poel can, like, take a bit of, like, the only thing that will affect him from Tour de Flandre is the fact that his second strongest teammate, Gianni Vermeers, also went down in that crash, but Van Aert really not racing Flanders is really a miss for the race, and Van der Poel now really, really, really the outright favorite.
Yeah, with what we have seen, especially in the A3 Saxo Classic, it was definitely a display of strength, and definitely showed there that he was the strongest there in terms of the contenders that have a shot at winning Tour of Flanders, and also Roubaix, but, you know, solely focusing on Flanders in a way, because the A3 and also Gent-Wevelgem, but overall these type of races are more leaning towards the Tour of Flanders. I feel that, you know, you might have to look into a Pedersen, but we don't know. He was also one of the guys that was involved in the crash, was able to step back on his bike, and it seems that the injuries are minor for him, but, you know, also he was nowhere in the A3, was there in Gent-Wevelgem, was able to beat him, but then you have to look into how the team of Little Trek raced there also. And I mean, if we look at the miss of Van Aert, it's definitely going to be a big miss, because it looked like we were going towards this kind of battle again. It was going to be interesting to see how that will play out, and also for Visma Liesebike, they almost a purpose to race for, and they probably had a plan and they wanted to try and work that out, but that is all gone now. And yeah, it's probably now for all the other teams, how are we going to beat Mathieu van der Poel, and how can we strategize something with the team, with the riders, to make sure that we put him in difficulty. And, you know, they have seen what can happen in Gent-Wevelgem, so maybe they can take their lessons there and see what they can work out with in Tour Flanders. But for sure, it took a very big hit, and it's going to be difficult to beat him, that's for sure.
Gent-Wevelgem was an interesting case study because, yes, Van der Poel was tired from a big E3 solo. Yes, it seemed like it was not his biggest priority to win Gent-Wevelgem. It seemed like he started with the same idea as San Remo. Well, if I get ahead, I won't mind sprinting for the win, but if Philipsen sprints for the win, that's fine for me as well. But it was an interesting case study because Lidl Trek got Van der Poel in a position which Visma Liesebike has never been able to do. After the first time Kemmelberg, there was a group of six riders, and there were three riders from Lidl Trek there, and they immediately played their numbers. They went with Milan, Stuyven then punctured, but they still had the numerical advantage there. That's something that Visma Liesebike has never been able to do. They've never been able to put Van der Poel in a position where he maybe makes questionable tactical decisions. They've never put him in such a small group against such big numbers. We see Visma Liesebike often racing very aggressive, and that's mainly in the semi-classics where normally Van der Poel isn't there. We've seen it this year in Omloop Nieuwsblad, Groene Brussels Groene. They've done it in previous years as well. They attack from far, but with a different philosophy. They've never really avoided a 1v1 by having a 3v1 or a 2v1 from a super tiny group. And it's interesting because it worked in Gent-Wevelgem. It's of course difficult to replicate, and maybe Visma have tried it, but it just never worked out like that. But it's an interesting case study because it shows that if you have the numbers there, you can do something against Van der Poel. Of course, it's more difficult in the Tour of Flanders due to the course, also due to the fact that Lidl Trek won't have Jasper Stuyven, who was super strong there. He also broke his collarbone in that crash. It will be difficult to beat Van der Poel, but the race always needs to be raced, and on paper he might be the favorite, but luckily cycling races don't get decided on paper, because then it would be fairly boring. I think we can move on. There's a couple of more riders. Issam, Tim Merlier has been riding pretty well, winning a lot of sprints. I think he won a number of stages in Tirreno Adriatico, two or three from the top of my head. He's been maybe the best sprinter so far this season, although Philipsen has, of course, also been very good, but maybe he's been the fastest pure sprinter this season. A short comment.
I don't know Merlier in Tirreno if he won races. I don't not sure about that, but I think that if you look at the way he was sprinting, definitely convincing in the UAE Tour, and yeah, I don't know how the rest of his season will play out, but he's definitely one of the more positive signs of Soudal Quickstep, the team where he's racing at, because if you look at their results so far in the Spring Classics, it's not really encouraging. It's basically him and Remco Evenepoel that doing quite well there in the team, and that are probably making sure that the spirits are somewhat higher than he would have been if those guys were not racing there. And I think for Merlier so far, the preparation is going quite normal. It's looking okay, but Philips is definitely also there, and it's going to be interesting to see how the battle between those two will play out, most likely ending up in a great spectacle in the Tour de France. But if you look at his speed right now, it looks that his speed is right up there, so there's definitely some room for improvement, but it looks quite good.
I must be confusing Tirreno with the UAE Tour, because in the UAE Tour, I for sure know that Merlier won a number of stages. In Tirreno, I know he had that one stage where he sprinted way too early, but I've watched so much cycling, it's kind of getting diffused up there in my head. But yeah, he had a strong season so far, also with that win in Nogrecourse, where he launched from the back. He's been doing very well. A few other notes on the men's side. Pidcock raced Milan-San Remo, did pretty well there. Almost won, actually, or well, almost. Maybe not overdo it, but he was in that leading group. He did attack and then got caught in the final 500 meters. And finally, last point from my side, Thibaut Nice will be postponing his debut in a Grand Tour for a year. There was a bit of talk that he would debut in the Giro this year, but he is not doing that. He's racing a schedule pretty similar to last year. Also, probably going to be doing another full season of cross this winter. So that's positive news for cyclocross fans. Then let's move to the women's side, Issam, because we already mentioned it briefly that we were going to discuss Pietersen van Empel. Last time we spoke was after Omloopend Nieuwsblad. But Pietersen did pretty well in that race. We were talking about her chances in Strade Bianche. We were pretty optimistic about them. Strade Bianche was not a great race for Pietersen. I think we already covered that, actually. Yeah, we must have covered that already. Yeah, we did. We did. It's been a while, but we did cover that. That was not the greatest race for her. But after that, she added a few more races to her schedule. She ended third in the Ronde van Drenthe uphill sprint on the Vanberg. She ended third in Trofeo Binda, false flat sprint, won by a pure sprinter. Well, that's not really fair, but Balsamo, really fast sprinter, Kopecky, and then Pietersen. She then also raced Gent-Wevelgem, where she sprinted to a top 10 place. And then she raced Dwars de Vlaanderen yesterday. Women's race was held up by incident. There was a crash in the men's race at the back between cars. The Quickstep Alpha Vinyl car collided with a race doctor's car. Doctor needed to be taken to the hospital. They couldn't take two climbs due to that. They went around them. In the final of the race, there was a group of six ahead, and Pietersen ended fifth from there. It was a pretty decent race by her once again. On the other hand, we had Van Empel with some. She was going to start her season in Gent-Wevelgem. She was at the pre-ride the day before the race. Then they announced that an earlier illness meant that she couldn't start the race. So they added Dwars de Vlaanderen to her schedule instead. She was at the front of the race. She attacked. It was not the most powerful attack, but we saw her at the front. Pietersen took over. They were in a group of 10-ish riders for a while. Then they got caught. Van Empel missed the decisive move where Pietersen was in. Vos was in there. Van Empel then had a puncture and didn't feature in the rest of the race. What do you make of it, Issam? On one hand, we have the super dedicated planning of Van Empel. On the other hand, we have Pietersen just seeming to be picking options from the menu a la carte, whatever I want. What do you make out of that?
It's very difficult to make something out of it, and I don't know if it's per se very positive from both in a way. Well, as you clearly said, it's quite the opposite of the way they are planning their races. I mean, for Van Empel, for sure, it was a bit of a shame that she missed out on racing in Gent-Wevelgem. I think that was definitely a I wouldn't say a race where she could have done a great result or put in a great result, but definitely a race where at least you have those racing kilometers in and you can, you know, take that with you into the next week and into Vlaanderen Flandre and also then Tour Flanders, obviously. But it was, a bit of a shame that that didn't happen. And still, I have no idea what to expect from Van Empel in the Tour of Flanders. And if we talk about the planning of Pieterse, which in my opinion is no more, I don't think there is any planning at this point. It's basically whatever I really want to do. And if the legs feel well, I will try to do this race also. And it seems that Tour of Flanders is going to be the last race, but it wouldn't really surprise me if Paris-Roubaix is going to be added on. Because, I mean, it's only a week after, so I kind of can understand it if you're already starting to race that much. But if that is going to be the case, I think that they have to rethink on what they're going to do with the mountain bike and how they will approach the Olympics, because I feel that there is now, you know, there's barely any rest between her cyclocross period and now the road season. And it feels a bit too packed, in my opinion. So I don't know how they are looking into that, and I don't know if Paris-Roubaix is eventually going to be added into a program also for this season, but that is going to be interesting for me, how she will approach the season start of the mountain bike, and, you know, if there is going to be any changes in that.
It's known that she is not going to race the Brazilian World Cups in mountain biking. They take place in a handful of weeks. Poulin-Ferrand-Prevot, the world champion, has been doing very well on the mountain bike so far. Of course, it's early days. We don't really know what's going to happen there. But Pieterse took a week off after Cyclocross Worlds. She went snowboarding, I think in Austria, with Laura Molengraaf. And then she picked up the pace again, started training in Spain for the road season, 20-hour weeks. Now she's just racing pretty much every single week, and yes, it's going well, and I can see why you want to continue. I mean, she's a contender for the podium in the Tour of Flanders. At the very least, she can get a top 10. I can get why you want to keep going, but it's about making choices in this sport. You can't do it all. Like, you need to rest at some point. Like, after the Tour of Flanders, she said the idea was that her mountain bike campaign would start a week before the European Championships. That would again mean like you take a week off and then you build towards your first race of the season in 2, maybe 3 weeks, and then you roll into the mountain bike season. Like, I don't know how sustainable that is towards Paris, so you need to make choices. If maybe at the end of the day you prefer the road over the mountain bike, like, it's fine, but you need to make choices. On the other hand, it's about the balance, because I don't exactly think what they're doing with Van Empel is the right way either. I've said it before, she needs more racing experience. Positioning is a bit of an issue. It was all right in Dwars door Vlaanderen, but it was also helped by the fact that that big neutralization was there in the middle of the race. She was not in the leading group before. Pieterse was in that leading group before. It was all right, but still, she needs more experience in order to do well. And then she is at the race, she's at the team hotel, she's done the pre-ride, and then you wake up and it's, oh, she's not been 100% because she's been sick a week and a half ago. I feel like that could have been known in advance, and also I don't know to what extent you really need to be 100% every time you race. It's fine to do certain races just to gain experience. So it's about finding a balance, and in that way I think neither of the teams are approaching it in fully the right way. Somebody who has made the choices, difficult choices, Shirin van Anrooy, crashed in the cyclocross season, broke her rib, at the end of the day decided that she wasn't going to do any of it anymore that season, focusing on the road. It's working pretty well. She's been up there in a number of races, been having a role as one of the leaders in the team. Lidl Trek and the women's side also racing pretty attractively, pretty attacking. It's been going well. She was up there yesterday in Dwars door Vlaanderen. She finally got a very, very good result for it as well. She was up against Vos. Didn't really stand a chance in the sprint, but still, second place in Dwars door Vlaanderen is a second place.
Totally, and I think she finally kind of got that sort of reward of the way she has been racing in the last couple of weeks. And I mean, I think it was, looking back at it, it probably was the right decision for her to give up on the cyclocross season, try to make the best out of the road season, because at the moment it looks very good. And Vos was very, very smart to react on that attack, and then they were with two, and at that point you just have to go for it. And I think that she did that very well, and in the last couple of kilometers set in the wheel of Vos, she had the teammate behind her in the likes of Longo Borghini. So for her it was then a little bit easier. It was against her nature in a way, but that was very smart done. But I think overall, if you look at how she has been performing the last couple of races, in my opinion, very good. And she's more than just a teammate. I think that she's definitely someone that, with a couple of years time, can become a leader. Right now is still not really there as a leader, but can definitely make use of these type of moments, and they will always come in cycling. There's always going to be a moment where you attack just at the right moment, and you have a teammate behind you maybe that can kind of make sure that you get that gap, and then you just have to have the good legs to make it happen. So I think that for her it's definitely, it looks very good, and it's, you know, I'm very interested to see what she can do in the next couple of races and how her season will evolve. And what also is going to be interesting, I mean, how the cyclocross will fit within her season, how they're going to approach that, because obviously you can see that it's kind of working out at the moment on the road. So, you know, how will they approach the cyclocross season next year and the years to come will be probably interesting to follow as well.
Yeah, we will need to wait and see what will happen there. I do think at some point we will see Pieterse van Anrooy and Van Empel all move to more limited cyclocross calendars. We're still waiting what will actually happen with the calendar. It should come after the Tour of Flanders. They should release it like pretty quickly after that. We'll need to wait for that to be released as well. I'm looking forward to it. I really don't know what to expect at the moment. I've heard mixed signals come in, so we'll need to wait for that, and we will cover that in the next podcast. And yeah, of course, I already mentioned it. Vos won that sprint. Vos, of course, cyclocross rider with the most world titles, 8 world titles, didn't race this year because she underwent surgery, but 250 career wins on the road. That also deserves a round of applause.
Absolutely, and it was such a smart way as well when she saw the attack of Van Anrooy following that wheel immediately, knowing that could be the right move. And yeah, it's just the experience overall that she has is insane, and she can, you know, really turn it up. And you know, with that experience, she can definitely, and the abilities that she has overall, she can be one of the best cyclists in the world in the women category. So it's just a legend that is riding at the moment. And of course, it's a bit of a shame that she was not able to do the cyclocross season. But in all honesty, I think maybe it's even better for her that she can now focus on the road and do her last couple of years, because you know, eventually there is going to be an end to an illustrious career that she had. And it's just great to see her in her later stages of her career still being able to race for victory. And you know, definitely wants to watch for this Sunday as well. So it will be interesting what she can do in Tour of Flanders. Definitely, in my opinion, an underdog favorite, kinda, that can, if she can survive the climbs, if she can maybe anticipate like she has done now in Dwars door Vlaanderen, who knows, maybe she can win it. So that will be interesting.
Flanders might be difficult because it's so much climbing. I think on the pure climbing she's been lacking a little bit. I know she did do an altitude camp recently, which maybe means that she's better now than for San Remo. But I'm looking more towards Paris-Roubaix. That could be a good chance for her to show herself. I know it's been a pretty big goal for her to win that race since it's added to the calendar. It hasn't really gone her way last year, bad luck, and is that COVID as well? It's not really gone her way so far, but Roubaix, definitely I'm expecting to see Vos at the front of the race. Of course, in Flanders, as you say, always a contender. You can never count her out, but I think it might be a bit too heavy, but we'll see that this weekend, Issam. thank you. I hope we've given everybody a nice update on the latest on the cyclocross riders.
I hope we did indeed, and thank you for having me, and you know, a couple of nice weekends ahead of us with Tour of Flanders and also Paris-Roubaix. Really looking forward to those races, so yeah, thank you for having me.
Yes, you're very welcome. We'll be back pretty soon after this weekend because we need to discuss the new World Cup calendar. We need to discuss what happens in Flanders, although we might keep that for another podcast together with Roubaix. But yeah, we'll be back fairly soon to talk about the Cyclocross World Cup calendar. Thanks everyone for listening and goodbye.